Welcome to the greatest men's club in the world. It's not a country club, it's a grilling club, where every weekend they're going to talk about taking an animal and throwing it on some scorching flames and turning it into the tastiest morsels of goodness on this earth. As a matter of fact, it's kind of caveman, but they don't drag women into their cave. No, they're going to teach you how to make that food so good you can lure them into your cave and keep her hair looking good. When you want to find the center of the barbecue universe, just look at a map of North America and look for that big grilling mitt. That's where they're at. It's the Grilling Guys.
Welcome. You listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's the weekend right before Turkey Day. Hope most of you guys that are listening out there have bagged your buck. I've got a lot of buddies down in Shartucky that have been taking some dandies, some real dandies, but we'll leave that to Facebook because that's the best way to learn about those. But I had one that a buddy, Bob, that got a buck. The neck was bigger than the shoulders around. It looked like a wedge. It went from its ears down to its tail.
He was rutting big time.
Oh, man.
Those necks swell up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Welcome to the show. It is the Grilling Guys, and it's we're still talking deer, but today we're going to talk a little turkey.
Yeah. Why not, man? Why not? But before we get to the turkey, what about your deer camp? Tell me a little bit about the festivities of the opening two or three days, man.
Well, it was very truncated because I've got this construction product and project and everything. And our buddy Jim Crank sent me out there with a 5 gallon. I think it's called a corny.
Yeah.
5 or 6 gallon keg of his wonderful brown. I can't think of the name of it, but I think you've had it before. And
sounds like you have too.
It was so cold that it was freezing in my mug.
Oh, really?
The beer, it was so cold it was hard to enjoy beer. That's how cold it was.
Oh, come on. Put a warm hand around it and suck
no,
it back.
No, I was like craving a hot cider or something. We were freezing. We could not build a big enough fire to warm up. Yeah. It was windy and
rainy,
about
cold.
15 degrees. And, yeah, we did see deer. Nobody shot anything. We ended up with some rain. But my son Alex and my other son Jordan came up, and they hunted with us. And
oh, that's cool.
It was wonderful, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was a good time. I had made some chili. I took last year's venison and made some chili.
Uh-huh.
So it's a good day to talk about chili because we're going to be talking about that in the next segment.
Right.
Yep. And
little contest we're in.
This turned out really good. I did a little different twist on it, and I threw in some bacon and whatnot. Of course, typical chili, but it was, man.
Yeah, it's the whatnot that everybody wants to know
about.
Yeah.
I had some boudin in the freezer, threw that in, and man,
yeah,
it hit it.
Good stuff. Well, I just made a bunch of jerky. As you know, I whacked a little freezer deer with my crossbow about a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago. And I had a lot of fun with that because I took the everything but the back straps and the hindquarters, and I put it into jerky. And I put it on my own smoker and put a little teriyaki.
You put it on your big trailer smoker?
I did, yep, on the good one. And I did that up, and I cut it a little thicker, probably like 3/4 inch thick. And then maybe 4 or 5 inch long strips. So it's a little more steaky than it is that tough, chewy.
Mm-hmm.
And
I like it like that.
Yeah, I do too, because it's just, I think it retains a little bit more of the flavor, and it's easier for me to eat when it's rather
than
hard.
Moisture.
Right, yeah, exactly. So
you don't
had
need
a bunch
quite
of that.
As much beer when you drink it.
Yeah, I had a bunch of that, and I shared it with everybody, and now it's all gone. And what do you do? But anyway, had a great time.
So what did you brine it or dry rub it?
I dry rubbed it.
Yeah.
Yep, and then I just kept it in the refrigerator, and it was all gone within 5 days.
Now you dry rubbed it, and how long did you leave it the rub on before you threw it in the smoker? Did you sprinkle it on, throw it in?
No, it was there about an hour. Okay. I put it on about an hour, but not a lot longer than that. And basically, I took it out of the fridge, put it on a pan, put the dry rub on it, let it kind of come up to room temperature a little bit while I was getting the fire going in the smoker. You know, and I had to get it up to temperature because it was cold out.
And you used like one of our favorite packaged rubs, probably.
Right. Yep.
Let me guess.
Yeah.
Memphis.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yep.
It's
Memphis,
good, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It's a Memphis profile. It's a little bit. If you've not had one of those, there's a little bit of citrus in a Memphis profile.
Pig's butt. Rub some butt. There's several of them. They all have that. I think the key is that powdered Worcestershire.
Yeah.
Really gives it a nice little ting, and it's not terribly hot, so anybody can eat it.
Right.
Did you add any heat to it?
Nope. I didn't because I'm a sissy. You're the guy that likes the heat. Okay. I'm just I just want to eat it.
You're a big large sissy quantity. If you're a sissy.
Right, I am. But hey, you know what? At least I admit it, right?
Yeah.
But, anyway, so are you done deer hunting?
No.
Okay.
No, I will be out tomorrow morning again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. I have to take my gun out at least once.
Yeah.
Because I'm not much into gun hunting anymore. I'm ashamed to say it. Just by the time gun season comes along, it just seems like most of the hunting places I go to are so trampled over by all the idiots coming up getting ready for rifle season.
Yeah.
That the good hunting, I don't go deep. You know, I don't have like a great sweet spot that's deep into a swamp or anything. So I'm hunting in places that are somewhat open very often.
Yeah, likewise. And I'll be the first to admit I've not been out with my gun yet this year. Again, I enjoy the crossbow hunting. It's just a little bit better weather, frankly, and there isn't as much competition out there. But I, too, plan on going tomorrow morning and blowing the dust out of the barrel, so to speak, and see if we can get a crack at one. My buddies down in Shartucky have offered a shack, so supposed to be raining tomorrow, so I don't know what kind of movement we'll get, at least where I'm going, but at the end of the day, it's just fun being down there. Got a buddy down from Alaska that comes down, grew up in Shartucky with us, and he lives in Alaska, and he comes down for deer season every other year, and this is the year, so got to go down and spend some time with him, and then we end up at Joe's Gizzard City Bar and you know, rehash high school stories on through. So I'm really looking forward to that
day. It didn't turn out so good, so you got to be careful.
Right, I understand. That is all of folklore. None of that is true.
But, folklore.
Anyway.
5-0 folklore.
Right.
Farquhart.
Yeah. All works out.
Yeah. So I am going to put a little more emphasis on the muzzleloader season because I'll get a little bit of a window of time there to go up.
You have mine.
Well,
and I
mine.
Have your
it's
smoker.
Mine now.
So it's yours now.
Yeah, it's
as
mine
is
now.
The smoker mine. That was part of a little barter. It
yes.
went down. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think we both made out just fine.
I'm not complaining.
No, you shouldn't.
Right.
In studio, we have the lovely Molly Monet and the brutish Matt McHale from Gravel Bottom, and we're sipping on some of his right now. So when we take a break, we got to refill our glasses, and we're going to talk about a chili cook-off coming up because we are going to throw down big time.
Yeah, and we've had a little bit of fun the last couple of years, and we'll catch that in the next segment. But Matt, I'm going to invite you to the microphone because anybody that puts a beer in my hand on a Saturday morning, I need to know what I'm drinking, pal, because I'm very familiar. I'm a Mug Club member of this particular brewery, and it's called Gravel Bottom in Ada, Michigan. The proprietor, Matt Michaels, join us. Thanks for coming to the show, Matt.
Hey, thanks for having me on again. What you're drinking right now is a Pilsner. So this is our first run on a Pilsner, and we're real proud of it.
Okay.
I think Bob was in the other night and said, hey, why don't you bring that into the show?
So
we got a few more here to try as we go through the
I hate it when that happens.
I have to say Pilsner was one of the first great beers I ever tried. My brother-in-law brought some Pilsner Urquell or Kale.
I don't know how you pronounce it. Yeah.
I'm not sure.
It's a Czech beer.
Okay.
Pilsner Urquell. And I fell in love with it. I was a Coors drinker, and I took a nice...
Well, there you go.
Well, you know, that was
where's
20
that been?
Years ago.
Yeah.
That was 20 years ago.
I'm the guy that used to drink Labatt.
Yeah.
Right? And I've caught a lot of flack for that.
But still, a Pilsner from Coors going up to a Pilsner, that's a pretty easy step. That's a nice progression and somewhat similar profiles. Nice blonde beer, not real heavy, clean, fresh. But what I liked about this one of yours, what do you call it again?
This one's called South Island.
Yeah. What I like about it is I pick up a little bit of a hop flavor to it, just a touch.
Yep. So we use some non-traditional hops in there to give it a little bit more of an oomph, but it's still very classic Pils flavor.
So real quickly, what's the difference between a Pilsner and an IPA?
Well, they're different styles entirely.
Okay.
But an IPA, you got to think of an IPA as really featuring the hops.
Okay.
And a Pilsner, you know, isn't really going for that as much as the yeast profile and the malt profile.
Right. But typically a Pilsner is going to be a little bit lighter beer. A
lot lighter.
Than an IPA.
Absolutely.
All right. Coming up next, we're going to talk a little chili and beer. You're not going to want to miss this because we got a couple experts on both right here in the studio with us. Stick with us. We'll do that.
The Grillin' Guys are happy to introduce Fenn Valley Vineyards. Fenn Valley Vineyards is the oldest family-owned winery in Michigan, located in the middle of 45 acres of vineyards carpeting the rolling hills near Lake Michigan. Fenn Valley has prided itself in the production of classic European-style wines for the past 22 years. Visit their tasting rooms at the Vineyard or in Saugatuck, Monday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. On Sunday, they're open from 1 to 5. Go to FennValley.com.
Hi, it's Shasta from Old World Olive Press. We are a Michigan-based company with stores in Rockford, Grand Rapids, Plymouth, and Birmingham. Visit our tasting rooms to sample over 50 varieties of award-winning olive oils and balsamic vinegars, carefully sourced from small-batch artisans in both hemispheres. We have cooking demonstrations and private parties to help you experience the treasures we've discovered. Step into our kitchen, downtown Rockford, in our newest location on Monroe Center, Old World Olive Press. Let us help you bring the magic into your home. Go to Old World Olive Press.
Hey, when's the last time you had a really great root beer float? Brings back memories, doesn't it? Well, over at Schmoe's, we make root beer and black cherry soda just to bring back those memories. We've got six packs to go if you don't have time to hang around for a pint or a float. But bring the kids, grab a free basket of popcorn, and make your own memories with that new generation. Schmoe's Brewery, Grand Rapids, Michigan, located on Patterson, just north of 28th Street.
Wouldn't it be sweet if life just came with an assist when you needed it? At State Farm, we live for a great assist, and that's why State Farm agent Sterling Massey is proud to be a part of the NBA, the National Bureau of Assists. Whether you're driving the lane or defending the house, when it comes to assisting you with your insurance and financial needs, Sterling and his staff make it look as easy as a behind-the-back dime dropper. Call Sterling Massey at 616-532-6071.
Barbecue Bob, and I want to tell you about the biggest beer store in West Michigan. Siciliano's Market at 2840 Lake Michigan Drive has the most craft beers I've ever seen in one location. Siciliano's is a family business that works hard to bring you the best beers in the world to the West Michigan market. Visit Siciliano's and check out the huge selection of home brewing supplies as well. That's Siciliano's Market at SicilianoMKT.com.
Welcome back. You listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's the weekend. Appreciate you tuning in. Hope you're out in your backyard firing up a grill or smoker or maybe even a deep fryer for that turkey, because it's all about Turkey Day that we're going to be talking about. But before we get to that, it's chili and beer. I'm Jop. He's Barbecue Bob. What's brewing over there, buddy?
Yeah, I'm still just enjoying this little taste of Pilsner from Gravel Bottom here. But I had the pleasure of riding up the elevator with Molly Monet. And she's the lovely young lady that puts on the chili cook-off in Ada. This is the fourth year. Molly, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Of course.
Molly, we're the Grilling Guys are back for the fourth stanza of the event. Tell us a little bit about it, where it is and when it is.
Yeah, so the Ada Chili and Beer Festival is on December 2nd. It's Saturday morning right after the Santa Christmas Parade in the heart of downtown Ada. Fourth year we're doing it. We had, I think, 2,000 or so people last year. So we're looking for it to be a little bit bigger, more exciting this year. We have 20 breweries participating this year and 40 chili contestants.
Teams.
Wow. Yeah, 40 nice. Teams. So we're really excited. We're excited to have you guys there.
Well, we're excited to be there as well, because in true Grilling Guys fashion, we can't do this on our own. We have to have our right-hand crutch, and that is a little Gravel Bottom brewery that we've decided to come back again and defend our championship in the brewery chili division with our partners from last year. Matt Michaels is in the studio with us as well, Gravel Bottom Brewery proprietor. And we're going to throw down some chili, Matt. What are we doing for our little special beer? Because we always do one.
Yeah, it's no contest this year. We're going to totally take this thing.
talking. You better open another growler, pal.
This year we're bringing on Bucketfoot, which is our black IPA, one of our more popular beers. But we aged that on some jalapenos, and we call that Blisterfoot. And so we're bringing that into the pair that up with the chili. We figured that'd be a great pairing, and I just can't wait to show that off.
Right. I like it. Well, and we, as part of the beer and chili partnership event, we actually will be using a little bit of that beer in our chili. So moms and kids, it's okay. The alcohol will burn off as we cook the chili, and we're just going to get that little bit of heat out of that beautiful black bucket foot that we're going to put in that chili. I can't wait, man. So, Molly, can people come to this event, or is it just for a competition?
No, people are welcome. We encourage it. You can buy tickets online. We have a Facebook page, Ada Chili Beer. You can buy tickets through tomorrow, 20% off. Or after tomorrow, you can get, it's $10 for 5 taste tickets, which one taste ticket you can get either a sample, a 3-ounce sample of chili or beer. Now, some...
It's a tough call.
It is.
Let's see. I'm hungry. I'm thirsty.
Right. You know, the Grilling Guys team is going to be running a special at 2 tickets for a taste of beer and chili.
Okay. Okay. Right. Absolutely. Love it.
Say that again. You're such a cheater.
I'm not cheating, but you're going to want to, if you only get 5 tickets, you're going to want to spend 2 of them right when you walk in, because
we'll get
be right there.
You can get more than just the 5. We do have, more ticket packages available.
Yeah, everybody
available,
buys more tickets.
Oh, you have to. Yeah. You have to. With 40 different chilies and 20 different breweries there, most of them bringing more than just one beer, you have to try most,
and
as much as you can.
It's a stellar group of brewers that you get in. This isn't like lowlifes. This is a lot of top dogs. This is real pros.
These are some of the best that GR has to offer.
Absolutely.
For sure.
Absolutely.
A lot of them are good friends of mine that we've asked to come in here and over the last few years, and it's just really grown. And the breweries, they really enjoy the event, and so they're out there having just as much fun as you guys.
Well, I hope it snows so it's nice and snowy like it was last year.
Yeah. So Molly, I know the teams. We can start. Throwing down our chili ingredients. Everything has to be brought there in a package, all natural, nothing pre-cooked. So we'll start at 6:30. I think we got to have it ready for the judges at like 11, and then 11:30 maybe.
Yeah.
And then when can the public start showing up, and when can they expect to eat chili?
Yep. So it happens right after the Santa Parade wraps up. We're looking at about 11 o'clock. Doors open, and it goes through 4. So come out anytime, 11 to 4, right at the community church in the heart of downtown Ada, where you can't miss the tents. There will be two big old tents in the
parking
lot.
We just call it the beer church.
Right.
That's right.
Yeah. Is there any entertainment or anything there other than the chili? Yeah,
yep. There will be a band there. We're looking at Highway 22 is going to come out and play for us. There's activity sheets will be on the tables for the kids. We have donuts, hot dogs, popcorn, cotton candy, the works.
So it's just not chili.
That's
it's
right.
It's a wonderful event. I mean, at the end of each one, I'm just like, wow, this really turns out. I mean, thousands of people, and you just started it, it'll be 4 years ago now.
Yeah, 4 years.
So hats off to you.
Yeah.
Good job, Molly.
Yeah, it's a great event. Great event. We have a great team planning it, so we're looking forward to having everybody come out.
Yep. I'd like to add those tents. Just don't be afraid of the weather.
No.
I got to say, one of the most impressive things about this event is they are ready for it.
Yeah.
These tents are up. They're heated. They're warm.
It's beautiful.
Everybody's having a great time. So don't worry about the weather.
Yeah, plenty of parking. Great. You're in Ada. That's always a plenty of parking, right? We'll just leave it at that. But anyway, Molly, thanks for spending some time with us. I see you got one of those gravel bottoms in front of you, too. So I hope you're enjoying that. And,
yeah, very good.
I know that mine is empty, Matt. So let's talk a little bit about that bucket foot that we're going to be making the blistered version into the chili. But what do you have with you today about the bucket foot?
Yeah, so I brought in a sample of the bucket foot. It's not the blister foot. This is the standard bucket foot that we bring out. So this is our version of what we call black IPA. And we designed this beer to be a black IPA from the ground up. So we do put in hops that are on the piney spectrum to match with those roast malts that we have in there. But you'll find that it's a real nice, roasty, complex malt profile, and then that's really balanced with, the heavy hopping and the bitterness.
So the color comes from the malting of the grains, or where does the dark color come from?
Actually, you know, almost all of the grains are malted. That's where they sprout them and help to unleash those enzymes that we turn into, or those.
Thank you, I misspoke. Right.
Yeah,
right.
That we turn into sugars.
Yeah, right. You forgot the enzymes, Joppy.
Yeah.
Not my first time. to forget an enzyme.
The starches, you know, the enzymes. The enzymes, you know, create the starches. But anyways. But then they roast it at different temperatures, you know, to get these different flavor profiles, and they change the actual sugar compounds in the grain itself, and the dark color comes from a very high heat roasting.
That's what I was
of those.
Say. And then you put the lime in the coconut, and it turns out great.
Don't
this
call me in the morning.
This tastes like a Scotch ale. It's got a lot of close similarities to.
I don't think that that's necessarily wrong. I think that works pretty good, but yeah,
the Scotch ale,
you're going to find there's a lot more caramelization, and it's going to be a little bit lighter and less roasty.
Oh, I agree.
But it's a real good beer too.
This is beautiful.
So Bob, I would pair this. It's happening already, isn't it? Yes. I would pair this with some barbecued ribs or something that had a little bit of a sweet but spicy profile to it. This would work very well with this. And the cool part about this is, Matt, is that you can drink this at a variety of temperatures. This isn't one that has to be super cold or better warm. I'm good up and down as it sits there on the table and it warms up a little bit after you pour it.
You know what I'd pair this with? Chili.
Chili, yeah.
Personally, Joppa, you know, and on that point, I love to drink it warm. In fact, a lot of times these guys will pour me a pint and I'll let it sit for a good 5-10 minutes before I actually start
drinking. Well, you're
usually
pretty busy in the brewery. You're working the crowd pretty heavy.
I'm a pretty good talker, yeah.
You don't get a chance to sit down too often. Everybody wants a piece of a mat when they're in there. So I noticed that you're very good as a proprietor in spreading the love around that place. And
I appreciate
that. That's why people like coming in. They love it when the owner spends time with them.
Yeah, well, it's why we're in the business, is to help create that community and be a part of it.
That's great. Hey, Matt, can you stick around for the next segment?
We
might want to have a chat about another couple of those growlers that you've got going there because I'm not done.
He's going to get more fun.
He's afraid he's going to run out.
Right, yeah. I'm the only thing between him and the door, so I got to slow him down. He's bigger than I am. But anyway, coming up next, we're going to talk a little bit of Turkey Day, man. It's just coming up next week, so it wouldn't be the grilling guys unless we were talking maybe a little deep fry, a little souve, little spatchcock. I don't know where we'll go with it. But anyway, you're listening to Grilling Guys. Stick with us. We'll be back. Let's go dancing on the ceiling. Keep on living that teenage dream. Paradise City where the grass is green. Pretty soon I'll be so lonesome I could cry. But that's a song for another time. Have you missed episodes of the Grilling Guys? Go to thegrillingguys.com and you can play episodes clear back to 2010. Subscribe to the podcast and you'll never miss another one again. That's thegrillingguys.com. We live it, we love it. Allen Bob Sports. Sportsman serving sportsmen. It's more than a sport, it's a way of life. Your satisfaction's been our aim since 59. Have you ever wanted a great craft beer, but alcohol just isn't in the program that day? Well, the beer engineers at Schmoe's Brewing Company have engineered a beer just for you. A pale ale with less than 0.5% of alcohol. Ask for Schmoe's 120, where you dine or drink. It's the non-alcoholic answer with a craft beer taste. Schmoe's Brewing Company, Grand Rapids, Michigan, Beer City, USA.
Hi, this is Tim Sobey. Sobey Meats is an 11-year-old business on Remembrance Drive in Walker. We have high-quality custom meats as well as seafood, produce, beer, and wine. Sobey Meats is proud to supply the barbecue enthusiasts with over 50 sauces, Kansas City and Memphis rubs, as well as barbecue supplies. Our meat counter is 60 feet long with 70 different homemade sausages. Check us out at SobeyMeats.com. That's SobeyMeats.com.
with the grilling guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the grilling guy rake, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up your grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the party, we'll bring the smoke. You're gonna eat so much you might choke. So here's how it goes, and everyone knows. You're gonna listen to the Grilling Guys show.
Welcome back. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. I got some damn good IPA right here in my hand, brother. It's Saturday morning, and I hope you're having as good a time as I am, because anytime Barbecue Bob arranged to have a brewer in the studio, I think the show just goes a little bit better. And this is a special guy because he's our chili partner, right? I haven't boasted yet, so now's the time, right, Bob? We were doing the Ada Chili Cook-Off.
Don't hold off.
Okay. We might have won it twice and came in second or third time. This is the fourth time. It's going to be a charm. We're going to be the only three-time winner because we can only do that. But anyway, I'm Jop. He's Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, baby?
Welcome back. Thanks for joining us. Hey, if you've never been to our website, it's thegrillinguys.com. And check it out because there's recipes. You can listen to any show that we've ever played. Let's say you did, your friend was a guest or you were a guest. You can go right to the menu and pull up all the old broadcasts.
A couple weeks ago, it was biscuits and gravy. You got to listen to that one again. I tried that recipe.
Oh my God.
Oh, yeah. Heart attack on a
From
plate.
Dick Guider?
Oh, yeah.
Did you try?
Oh, my. Yeah, I did.
So anyway,
dude,
what
so
else?
So good. So good.
Back on the trail here. The other things on the site, the top right side, you'll see a headset, and you can click on that icon, and we will send the podcast right to your smart device. So good little things to have there. There's a column on the right with all of our sponsors. And I'm sure Gravel Bottom's going to have an icon on there pretty soon. And it'll take you right to their website. And if they have any specials running, you'll get them, like the Thermal Pen or things right. like that. Henry Rifles. Good time for a Henry. Christmas is coming.
Yeah.
Click on the Henry icon, and you'll go right to Henry Repeating Arms, and you'll see the latest specials. Buy one of those babies for your better half. So anyway, let's talk about turkey on the grill, Jop.
Yeah, Bob, the spatchcock is one of the methods that a lot of people like to do on the grill. Why don't you explain to the listeners what that exactly is? Because it's not necessarily a technical term, but it's just a technique.
You want to hear it from me or Cliff Clavin?
Cliff.
Well, your spatchcock there is what you do with a turkey that has no spine, like a politician.
Ah, there we go.
So
it's going to be salty then,
so
too,
So you take some poultry shears and you go up the back and you cut the spine out. And you take as many ribs out as you can, and you open that baby up. And it's really easy to do. It's a wonderful way, especially if you're going to throw it on the grill, because you can put it on the grill at a very low heat. You can throw a little smoke to it and literally grill a turkey. So what I do with that is I'll cut the spine out and any ribs that are easy and any bones that are protruding, and just clean it up real nice. I'll flip it over skin side down, and so that the exposed meat is up. I keep looking around this Christmas wreath.
No, I'm good.
I can't even see you. But
it's okay, I got this through the microphone here. I got this little scope right on your forehead.
I know, and there's a red dot.
Right.
Anyway, so then I'll put some oil on the turkey, and I'll put whatever herbs or whatever. If I'm going to grill it, I'm going to do maybe throw some herbs under the skin, because the grill will burn them anyway. But, a simple poultry rub works really nice.
Mm-hmm.
But so that exposed meat, put some EVO on it. I'm going to go with maybe a garlic EVO because that's my default.
Right. Nothing wrong with that.
And then I'm going to put it on really low heat, and I'm going to grill it for about 25 minutes, skin up. And I do it skin up because when that thing starts heating up, the fat from that turkey wants to melt and run down through the meat. And I'd rather have it do that than simply burn off on the grate being there first.
Okay, so your skin up, you get it started to cook on the meat side down, and then are you going to flip it to crisp up the skin?
So
is that what you're doing?
Like a big spatula or a couple of pairs of tongs. It's a big flip if it's a good sized bird.
Right.
And then I'm going to put it skin side down, and then once I get a nice sear on the whole thing, I'm going to try and arrange my grill so that I can put it over into a more indirect fashion and put it to the side and just let it finish off.
Almost like an oven.
Yeah, for like an hour.
And you're going to use your ThermoPen or what other digital thermometer that you have, and you're going to take it to what temperature?
I'm going to find like a hip socket. I'm going to go deep in where it's hardest to cook, and I'm going to get it to 165. If it's a fresh local grown turkey, you know, you can go to 155, 160. But if it's anything commercial, you got to go at least a $165.
Yeah.
You don't want to go too much over, though.
Right. It's going to dry out.
The breast will dry out.
Right. Exactly. But this spatchcock method is really nice because it allows the bird to cook evenly, more evenly than it does when it's left in like maybe a beer can application where in a beer can, it's sitting upright on a holder. And I use beer can loosely. I would cook with beer all day long. But there's also you can use fruit juices and fruit juice concentrates and things to create a nice flavor profile when you use the beer can, right? But that bird is sitting up, tail down, legs down, breast up, and you need a little bit taller grill for a turkey. But if you can get that in there, that's another great way to grill it. Again, you want to do that on an indirect heat because if you use it on the direct over the top of the burner, you're going to burn the bottom of the bird and those two thighs and legs before the breast gets done. So you put that over on the side. And there again, that's kind of a cool presentation doing it with a beer can.
But you can do the same thing in a smoker.
Right.
So now if you have an egg, like you have an extra large big green egg.
Yep.
Or like your big smoker.
Yep.
I think you got both those from me, didn't you? Yeah. Well, anyway.
I'm telling you.
So
Matt,
if you're lucky like
Jop. Man, I'm almost out of beer. Can you chime in here? I'm tired of listening to this.
If you're lucky
crap,
like Jop
more beer.
And you have a great device to smoke on, seriously, if you have a smoker, I think smoked turkey is probably my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can control the temperature. You're not in any hurry. When you're grilling it and it's spatchcock, you know, you got to really be on your game because it might catch fire, it might overburn, it might over, you know.
So talk to me about the smoking process and the skin on the turkey because I've only smoked a handful of turkeys. And when I got done, I was disappointed with the texture of the skin on the turkey. So I'm doing something wrong because
cooking it too low of a heat.
It doesn't get crispy. It's just rubbery. And then you end up peeling it off and throwing it away, and all the aromatics and the oil that you put on the outside is gone.
Well, when your meat temperature gets up to about 150, you want to jack up your heat chamber to 350, 400 degrees if your smoker will get to
load
that temperature.
Load some more coal is what you're saying.
You just got to open it up and let it rip and get a high temp finish on it.
Ah,
and then bring it up.
That'll crisp it.
Bring it up to a high temperature until you get those joints at 165.
Right. And you keep going back to the joint, but that's the deepest part of the bird, right?
Yeah.
And the worst thing you can do as a host, and generally everybody's got family over during Thanksgiving, and if you're cooking the turkey, the worst thing you can do is open up that hip joint and there's blood coming out of there because it's done, okay, but it's just not done enough that people are going to be grossed out and they're going to like be hesitant to eat what otherwise would be a fabulous turkey off your smoker. So just make sure you get down in there with that ThermoPen or whatever particular thermometer you have and get that temperature up there because once it's at 165, that'll all go away.
Let's quick segue off to Matt here. You've got a new tap room opening up.
Yeah. Yeah. We've got, Ada's under a big redevelopment right
now. When do you open?
And we're looking to open up a new facility within Ada. It's about 2,500 square feet, pretty much similar to what we have today, but we're going to upgrade a lot of our equipment. And we're going to be able to do some even more styles and play around with some more of our creativity.
And you'll have some food?
Yep, we'll have a little bit of food there, not a whole lot, some small
great
plates
nice
and some quick sandwiches. And
what's the date you're opening?
We're targeting for mid-February.
Awesome. That's something to put on your calendar.
Coming up next, we're going to talk with Chef Bob Schultz. You've heard him co-host with me when Barbecue Bob's been on sabbatical. And this guy is the turkey scientist. And you're not going to want to miss this because he'll give you all kinds of tips and techniques. Stick with us. We'll be back. Come on, come on, come on. Shake it for the birds, shake it for the bees. Shake it for the catfish swimming down deep in the creek. For the crickets and the critters and the squirrels. Shake it to the moon, shake it for me, girl.
Howdy, it's Barbecue Bob from The Grilling Guys.
We're working hard on Operation GI Barbecue, which is an effort to send a plane load of barbecue to our troops. Right now, go to GIBBQ.com, look at the Sapphire Ceramic Grill on auction. You can bid on this $2,000 ceramic grill package at RepoCast.com. That's SAFFIRE at RepoCast. So remember our troops at GIBBQ.com.
Hey, you looking for a relaxed spot to come have a beer with a couple of buddies? Swing on over to Schmoe's, 2600 Patterson. That's just north of 28th Street, right by the ice rink. We've got 16 taps, free popcorn, free pool, and free Wi-Fi. There's even outlets underneath the bar if you need to charge your device. So come on over to Schmoe's, have a great beer. Bring the kids. We even have root beer. See you soon at Schmoe's, 2600 Patterson, Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Imagine you and your buddies in your backyard drinking a cold one and relaxing in your new outdoor bar or kitchen. Does that sound like a good time? Yeah, baby. Then you wake up and realize you're sitting on an old deck in the glaring sun, drying out your brat on a worn-out grill. This is Jop from the Grillin' Guys, and if that's what you're cooking on in your backyard, you should call the guys at Home Life Outdoor Living. They'll help you design and build an outdoor kitchen and entertainment space that will make your backyard the talk of the neighborhood. Create some grill envy in your backyard. Call Home Life Outdoor Living at 616-682-0100.
If your window sticks, slips, squeak, or leak, then it's time to replace them with Anderson Windows from Standale Lumber's Home Center in Standale. Standard and custom sizes along with low-E glass, low-maintenance exteriors, and rich wood interior can turn simple window replacement into serious home improvement. You'll feel increased security, your home will be much quieter and more comfortable, but the increased curb appeal will make you proud of your home and its new facelift from your Anderson Windows and Standale Lumber's Home Center. 4100 Lake Michigan Drive, Standale, or find us on the web at standalelumber.com.
Oh, yeah, that one's going down. Hey, welcome back. It's the Grilling Guys. I'm Barbecue Bob. Jop just ran out to get a fresh mug, so he'll be back in a second. But on the gobbling grilling line right now is our good buddy Bob Schultz from the Sekia Culinary Institute. How are you, Bobby?
How are you doing, Bob?
We're chasing a turkey around the studio.
Yeah, I hear that.
We're going to have fresh turkey. If you've ever listened when I'm gone, a lot of times Bob Schultz will fill in. And, of course, you know, more people listen when I'm gone, so they probably more people hear you than me. So, anyway, Bob's an old family friend and much younger than me, but he is one of the instructors at the Sekia Culinary Institute, and he knows an awful lot about how to prepare food, and he teaches thousands of young kids every year how to make very, very fine food. So we want to help these folks create and build the best turkey they've ever done.
That is great. So we are going to talk about kind of some cool ways how to cook turkey that will blow people away.
Good.
That's great. One of the things that I love to do with turkey is, and this is not in everybody's kitchen, but I'll explain this process, and I'll talk about other ways that people can do at home. But there's a method of cookery called sous vide. It's S-U-S-V-I-D-E. And what that method of cookery is, it's cooking under vacuum. So what I like to do with this method of cookery, it's a more precise way of cooking to get the best product available. So, for example, if I put a turkey in the oven, if I kind of forget about it or if I cook it too long, it becomes dry. Well, with this method of cookery, it guarantees a nice, moist product when you're done with it. So it's really great. And I did this last year, and the family loved it. Loved it a lot.
So how can someone do this at home?
Okay. There's a lot of these. There's a brand called Anova. It's a device that you stick in a basin or a container of water that you set the water temperature, whatever temperature you want. So for like turkey, I would cook and set the water temperature somewhere around 150 degrees. And I'll explain why in just a minute. But what I do is actually debone my turkey And then I put the turkey in a brine. So I mix it with like 2 gallons of water, a half a cup of salt, and about a quarter cup of sugar. I usually add some sage to that. I usually add 2 tablespoons of sage in my brining solution. And then I just stick my turkey in there. I like to debone it, so I like to take the breast out, and then I disconnect the legs. And then I set it in the brine for like 2 days.
Wow.
And then I take it out of the brine, and then I vacuum seal it. So what does that mean? I put it, there's a food saver that some people have at their house where they put food in this bag and they suck the air out of it.
Right.
So with this turkey is I take it out of the brine and then dry it a little bit. Then I put it in a bag, and then I usually throw like whole pieces of thyme or chives or sage, just herbs right in there, maybe a little bit of butter. And then I put it in this vacuum sealer, and then it seals it. So now I have this raw piece of turkey in a bag with some herbs and some butter.
So now let me break in here. It's important to know that this is a fresh turkey and not a frozen, manufactured, or store-bought. This will be a fresh turkey only because you don't want to brine like a butterball.
Exactly. That's an excellent point. You're exactly right. And so then I put this turkey that's in a vacuum sealed bag, and I stick it in the water with this sous vide machine that I set the temperature up right around 150 degrees. And then it only takes about 2.5 hours. Well, chicken, any poultry, any turkey, it has to be cooked to 165 degrees. So after I cook this turkey in this sous vide machine, then I actually physically take it out, and then either I'll quickly put it in a deep fat fryer, or I'll put it in an extremely hot oven, like a 400 degrees, to crisp the skin. But when you taste this product that comes out of this, it's just the most tender piece of poultry, most tender piece of turkey you'll ever have. And it's incredible. Then you don't have the mess. But I utilize the bones from the turkey, and I make a stock. So I still want that fresh turkey gravy.
Right.
So when I make a stock after I debone the turkey, I just stick the turkey bones and turkey leftovers in a pot with cold water, and then I throw onions, celery, leeks, a little bit of carrots wouldn't hurt, and then I just simmer that for about 3 to 4 hours in a pot. Then I strain that. Then I have a beautiful turkey stock
right. That
I would make my gravy. You know, that's the cool way to do a turkey.
Jop filled his mug up, so he's back in studio with us.
Here we are.
How you doing, Jop?
Good, Bob. How you doing, man?
Good.
I'm just coming in on the back end of this, so catch me up real quick. You cooking the turkey before, because you're making your stock with the bones and the necks and all that other stuff before the Thanksgiving dinner, right?
That's exactly right. So when I have guests over, I like to just be ready. I want my kitchen clean. I want to share a cocktail with them and talk with them. So the more I can get done ahead of time, the better it is. I am cooking the turkey itself on that day, but I don't have the mess of the bones. I don't have the grease all over the kitchen.
Right.
So I take that out. Another cool thing you can do, instead of putting it like in the oven at a 400 degrees or deep frying it, if you have the time, you could put it in a smoker. And then you
now
have
you're talking.
Then you have a beautiful finished smoked turkey.
Right.
Because I only cook the turkey at 150 degrees, I need another 15 degrees on that turkey to serve it, so I can smoke it and then finish it another 15 degrees and have a beautiful smoke flavor turkey as well.
Yeah, and we covered that in the last segment, but just as so you know, all the turkeys in my house are finished.
Good. Good. They're finished.
And their
exactly.
last names are Nermico. Yeah.
Yes. I just want the listeners to know is, hey, here's Chef Schultz telling me to cook my turkey in a sous vide machine to 150 degrees. I'm cooking it to 150 degrees because I'm using another method of cookery to bring it up to 165.
Right.
And it's going to be a beautiful, moist piece of poultry that anybody will have. And the rumor has it that hopefully you and Jop will visit me this week and then come into the Heritage Restaurant, and then I'll serve you a piece of chicken that I'm doing with this method that will be just beautiful and juicy and tender.
That sounds like a date.
And
they make beer down there too, don't they?
I'm sorry, what?
They make beer down there too, don't they?
They do. We have a great brewery program.
Yeah, I thought so.
But another idea, if somebody doesn't have a sous vide machine, if you want me to quickly go into another method of cookery, the turkey, I can. What I like to do, if I'm doing it in the oven like everybody else, what I like to do is peel back the skin before I cook it and then put some herbs underneath the skin. And then when I roast it, that herbs will penetrate in the flesh when I'm roasting it, or if you put it on a smoker. And when I think of turkey, I think of stuffing. And I think, well, what kind of herbs goes with turkey? What kind of herbs go with stuffing? Then what gravitates towards me, or what I think of automatically, is sage, thyme, chives, oregano, any of those.
Fennel.
Would be great in there.
Do you ever use fennel in your stuffing?
Yes, fennel would work. Fennel would work, yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Awesome. Well, yep. I know you're a busy man, and we're running out of time here, but thanks so much for taking some time to speak with us. Again, it's Chef Schultz from the Secchi Culinary Institute. He runs the day shift for their, I'd call it a practice restaurant. It's called the Heritage,
correct,
but you teach all those kids the finer things of serving, and it's just a wonderful place, and we are definitely going to take you up on that offer.
All right. I would love to see you and Jop here, so we would welcome you. We're open Tuesday through Friday, 11:15 till 12:45 is our reservation window, and then at nighttime it's 5:30 to 7 if anybody would like to come into the Heritage at Grand Rapids Community College.
Awesome. Thanks so much. Chef Schultz.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Okay.
Chef Schultz, Bob, great guy, great friend of the show, great advisor for us. But coming up next, we've got a little bit of man love, some GI barbecue, and maybe a little event we're going to talk about for February. Stick with us. We'll be back. Like that.
Mm-hmm. It happens like that. I guess that's what you get. It's true what they say. As soon as you stop.
This is Jop from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about Garrett's Appliances, which is your one-stop shop for all your barbecue supplies, tools, grills, and smokers in West Michigan. Garrett's has grills for your outdoor kitchen. In fact, we at Home Life Outdoor Kitchens use them exclusively as our supplier for the very best equipment available. That's GarrettsAppliances.com, GarrettsAppliances.com.
So everybody wants to be a man. I mean, if you're a man. So man law is important for that reason. Raise your kids to be better than you, which shouldn't be hard in my case. Teach them to survive in a world that has Jersey Shores, the internet stalkers, and cell phone cameras.
You know, that last piece is the one that has changed a lot of people's lives.
Cell phone cameras?
Yeah. Whether it's politicians, whether it's just people that are doing great things with their cell phone cameras, but we're living in a time right now where you can document almost anything, anytime, instantaneously.
I think Al Franken regrets it right now.
Yeah, you know what? And that's where I was going. Is this stuff doesn't happen like if it happened yesterday, it's out today. There's stuff that happened years ago that people dig up a photo, put it on their phone, and bam, it's all over the world. And it's just a different place to live. And it's a different way to live.
You have to teach your kids to survive and thrive in that.
You do, but there's a lesson in here is that, you know what? Don't do things you're going to regret. It's simple. You know what? Live your life like you should, and you'll be fine. And enough about the soapbox. I'll get off it now.
Thank you.
But those type of things just, you know what? If you did it and somebody took a picture of it, you own it. Man up. It's man law.
I feel like I'm in Catholic school, and right. I never even went to one.
Talk to GI Barbecue about right now. Right now.
GI Barbecue, GIBBQ.com. We're working with the Chase Creek Smokehouse right now to have a chili cook-off in Chase, Michigan in February in the snow outside. So we're trying to work out the final details on that. Pat just texted me last night, And it's a work in progress, but we want to do one last big push so we can have a fun event out there in the snow. It'd be like a winter beer festival.
Oh, it'd be fine.
We'll have to get Gravel Bottom up there.
Yeah, we'll get Gravel Bottom up there. Molly, you guys can probably take a little bit of your knowledge and help us out with that. Tell us about this Ada Chili Cook-Off we got coming up next week.
Yep, so fourth annual Ada Chili and Beer Festival. We're having it in the heart of Ada. Grilling Guys, of course, you guys are the reigning champions with Gravel Bottom. So we're excited to have you back here to defend your title. Absolutely. So right after the Santa Christmas Parade in the heart of downtown Ada in the parking lot of it's the main community church right there in the heart of downtown.
I just remember celebrating at Gravel Bottom when we were done.
Sure.
And it couldn't have been more fun.
With the phallic trophy.
Yeah, it was. Definitely.
It's a pepper.
It was a pepper.
It's a pepper. It's in my office. Be nice. Yeah, gosh. Yeah. So anyway, I remember the joy and just looking over at you and Jop and the people that participated and just thinking, this was fun. It's always fun to win a trophy, sure, but it was just fun to go through the event and then end up at your great establishment because your beer's great.
Well, I appreciate, yeah, I'm biased. I think our beer is great too, but... I think you hit on something really important there. A lot of these small breweries, these hometown community breweries, you know, what they bring is this community gathering place.
Absolutely.
And it really helps to bring the community together and friends together.
Yep.
And I think that's what you're really talking to.
Our great sponsor, Schmoes, is actually there, but they actually team up with their distributor and friend. So yep. We're actually competing against another sponsor at the same time.
It's all good,
but
man.
It is fun.
It's friendly competition.
It is.
There's nothing in it for anybody other than bragging rights and a great day out to have fun with friends. And Matt, if people want to come to Gravel Bottom, where can they find you?
Well, we're currently in about a 4-foot hole behind Kingmas.
but for
we
sure.
are still open. Don't be afraid and don't think that with all
How
the construction stuff.
How did your business sink the way it did?
It didn't sink. They're building the town up around us
Isn't
right
that
now.
Cool?
So, yeah, it actually
is. I was just there a couple nights ago and I'm walking down the steps and I'm thinking, I never remember this place being in a hole.
Yeah, we
but
are.
That whole community is elevated, what, 3 feet?
Yep, they're trying to get out of the flood.
Yeah, enjoy your, evacuate the floodplain is what that's all about.
So thanks for joining us. It is the Goblin Turkey Thanksgiving Bounty Special.
Hey, if you're still out there hunting, be safe. Get in and out of your tree, and we'll talk with you next week.
And a little less left, a little more right now, a little less what's next. Act like tomorrow.